Thank you very much, Stuart. We're all looking very bright today. Did we enjoy our extra hour in bed last night? Can't say that I did. I'm going to tell you anyway. One of my slightly older dog, who's getting slightly confused in her old age, didn't quite get the memo about moving the clocks and all of that. So like 5:30 this morning, it was like, where's breakfast? So I was feeling quite tired this morning. And I must say, when I saw that massive big jug of like really sugary drinks sitting there beside me, I was thinking, perfect, I'm going to get through this, no problem. And then you took it away. thank you, Dave. Today we're going to be thinking about this idea of refreshment. We're going to be thinking about the life of Jesus and what it shows us, that he has this really busy day in his life. And then there's like the passage is almost split in two, isn't it? You get this kind of busyness and the healing and the miracles, and then he just retreats away on his own for a while. And we're going to think about the lesson of all of that for our own lives. Can we pray together first? Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the great source of life that it is to us. And Lord, we pray that as we think about what it is that you are saying to us in and through this passage this morning, Lord, that you would meet by the power of your Spirit here with us in this gathering today, that you would meet with us, Lord, in those places in our lives where we need a particular touch of your healing, of your love, of your encouragement, of your restoration, and that you would draw close to us, and that you would send us out of here renewed in our faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin by referring back to a book that was written a couple of years ago. It was just after the pandemic. Some of you might know this book. It became a bestseller worldwide. It was by an American guy called Adam Waitz, if I'm saying it right, W-A-Y-T-Z. And it is called The Power of Human. And as I say, it's sold many, many copies, and loads of people are reading it because it kind of tells us a lot about life today. And in this book, Adam Waitz argues that the increasing influence of technology in all of our lives is dehumanizing us. And he starts off by telling us, the very obvious way that it's dehumanizing us. We're spending more and more time with technology, more and more time in front of screens. What is all of that doing? It's breaking down community. It's making us less sociable. It's making us less relational to each other. But then he goes on to say that it actually has instilled all of this technology that is all around us, has actually instilled within each and every one of us a very deep sense that in order to be considered a productive human being, and in order to be considered a successful human being, we need to keep doing things. And he tells a story at the start of the book about this this guy who comes from another country. He's an immigrant. He travels over to the U.S. And within a few days of being in the U.S., he comes across this kind of cultural difference that he doesn't quite understand. And he comes across it because he begins to believe that the word busy means good. Because every time he says to people, how are you doing? They would reply, busy. And he goes on then in the book to give the story of Nora Rosendahl. And Nora Rosendahl is the chief operating officer of a performance coaching firm. And he quotes her in the next bit of the book because she then goes on to conduct this social experiment over the course of a week. And over the course of that week, she goes across many, many people in her network, and she asks them that same question, how are you? And over the course of the week, she writes down all the answers, she tallies it all up, and she takes a step back and sees what all of the answers are at the end, and she's astonished. 80% of people that take part in this survey, in response to the question, how are you, say, busy. That is the first answer that they give. Now, we might think that maybe that's a peculiarly American thing. It's part of the culture over there about being busy, that American culture values this more than many other cultures. But actually, in our own culture as well, we are seeing all of this seeping through, and we're seeing that busyness is one of the top causes of stress, and we're hearing lots of stories about people who even just feel that they are so busy that they can't even take a moment during the day to take a break from their desk. The problem with all of this is what flows from it. The problem with all of this is about the consequences that emerge from it. So many of the physical illnesses that people are experiencing in their lives today are actually coming from lifestyle factors, and busyness is one element in all of that. So much of the stress that people feel is coming from that as well. Tiredness, anxiety, fear, depression. And as more and more of this begins to become more and more prevalent in our modern day society, what you see is that society then tries to produce solutions to it all. And it tries to think about how we might be able to combat all of this. And if you look very carefully at the solutions that society is offering to all of this, they are generally offered under the label of well-being. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly that actually there is a much deeper problem that we all need to be aware of. And that deeper problem is going to require a deeper solution than any tips you might get on a well-being website, or any advice that you might get from a well-being magazine, or anything that might be written in the pages of the books in the well-being sections of bookshops. Have you been to bookshops recently? You go into bookshops recently, and the well-being section is one of the biggest sections in the bookshop. This is the response that society is giving to the illnesses that we are feeling in our day. But the Bible tells us that when we find ourselves living shallow lives, like in the sense of not meaningful, not purposeful, when we find ourselves developing deeply unhealthy habits that result in all sorts of damage in our lives, it is our very souls that are crying out in distress. And there is no well-being book, there is no well-being lifestyle guide that can deal with the problems of our souls. Our souls are the very core of our being. The soul is the very essence of who we are. So you go right back to the very first human beings of the earth, the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 2, verse 7, tells us that Adam became a living soul when God breathed life into him. We're told very clearly that after we die, our souls will rest even as our bodies perish, and that one day when Jesus Christ returns, the souls of all of those who are in Christ, that is to say, who have given their lives to Christ, who have committed their faith to Christ, the souls of those who are in Christ will reconnect with new bodies, bodies that don't get sick and don't experience pain and don't go through suffering and don't die. Our souls are precious to God. Our bodies are precious to God, but our souls outlive our bodies. Our souls are extremely precious to God. And that means that we have got to be careful that we are guarding our souls in this life. That is one of the most important things any of us can ever do, to make sure that we are guarding our souls. And you're not going to read about how to do that in any lifestyle magazine. You're going to have to look somewhere else for that deep sense of peace and satisfaction and security that we are all longing for in the depths of our souls. Many, many years ago, St. Augustine understood this when he wrote the famous phrase that he wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in you." It's an echo, of course, of Psalm 42, when the psalmist writes that as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Every human being is created with a soul that longs for God. It will not find its rest. It will not find deep satisfaction. It will not find deep fulfillment until it finds it in God. Jesus Christ tells us the very same thing. Matthew 11:29, when he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's really important to him. It's got to be really important to us as well that we take care of our souls. Because the soul that is not turned towards Jesus is going to lose touch with the very source of life itself. That's the reality. And we desperately need that life in us, particularly in the culture of busyness that we live in at the minute. Because if we end up getting consumed too much by the world around us and too much by the practices and the habits of the world around us, the result of that is that we are going to neglect our souls. So remember, Jesus says, let me teach you. I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And like any good teacher, he doesn't just say it, he goes off and he models it. He shows it to his disciples because they are seeking to learn from him what they should do if they are going to find that rest. So in today's reading that Stuart read for us a few moments ago, we find Jesus caught up in all of this activity. And it's really good activity. There's a lot of activity going on, but it's really good activity that he is caught up in. Listen again to those opening verses. As soon as Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. He went straight there when he heard about this woman who was ill. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. He went to her bedside, took her by the hand, helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a great meal for them. There is a lot going on in this. There's a lot going on in this moment of Jesus' life in terms of activity. But there is an awful lot going on here as well in terms of what this means for us today. Now, Simon Peter's mother is in bed with a fever. And as we heard, Jesus goes to her right away. I think that's really interesting because you might be thinking, well, do you know, it's a fever, sure. It's a fever, but a fever isn't generally the sort of thing that, you know, it's not generally the sort of life or death. It's not generally the most pressing or the most difficult thing that our bodies will ever go through. And yet Jesus rushes to this woman. And I think we're being reminded here, and maybe we need a reminder today, that Jesus cares about whatever suffering we go through. He cares about whatever suffering we go through in life. It's a reminder to us that he is with us through it all. And it's a reminder that, you know, if we are sick or someone we love very dearly in our lives is sick, it is not because God wants them to be. Jesus could not resist healing those who were sick. We see these healing miracles take place time and time again in his ministry. And he is still healing today. We are hearing many, many stories about healing today in our world, in our community. I heard a wonderful story recently in the city of a young boy who had stage 4 cancer, and it was looking very, very grim indeed. That young boy has no cancer in him at all anymore, and there was a lot of prayer and a lot of healing that went on behind the scenes there, and that young boy is cancer-free now. We are hearing many, many stories of this in our time. There are people in this room, I know. I know from speaking to you over the years, there are people in this room who know what it is to be healed through faith in Jesus Christ. And every single healing that takes place on this earth is a sign to us, it is an encouragement to us, that no matter what particular illnesses we get, every single one of us will be healed when God's kingdom comes in its fullness. And on that day, all sickness will be banished forever. It's written down in the book of Revelation for us. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for all these former things, the things of this broken world that we live through, all of them will have passed away. So the amazing thing here is that even when we are physically ill, and even when our human, frail bodies have to confront illness, our souls can still be full of life because of that promise that we have been given, that hope that we carry, that sickness and death will not have the last word in our life, that God will have the last word in our life. And that last word in our life is not going to be this sickness or this illness that we go through. It is going to be life in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, that's why he writes, we don't lose heart when we go through these things in this life. We don't lose heart about any of that. Because even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Every time I hear that, I'm amazed to hear these words. If you're here today and you've got some illness, or you know somebody with some illness, it's very challenging. It's very, very challenging. But take heart. The Lord tells you, your inner self is being renewed every single day. That is amazing. And we can see what happens as a result of this the passage. Did you notice the reaction of the woman who was healed? She gets up from her bed. I mean, it's quite amusing in some ways. She gets up from her bed, she's healed from this fever that she has, and she begins to prepare a great meal for Jesus and everyone who is in the room in the house that day. But that's important. What is she doing when she's healed? She serves Jesus. She serves those around her. I think we need to take a note of this woman, because her example is telling us something very important here. It's telling us that Jesus doesn't just show grace in our lives so that we can waste away our days. Jesus is pouring out his grace into our lives in lots of different ways, and we've got to do something with all of that. It's as Mother Teresa once said, wasted days lead to a wasted life. So let's not be those who waste the strength we've got. If we've got human strength, let's use it. If we've been given particular gifts, let's use them. If we've been given wisdom, let's use it. Whatever it is, let's use what we've been given to love and serve. But here's the thing. Let's not get so caught up in the activity of serving that we neglect our souls. Because a rested, well-cared-for soul is going to be required if we are going to be effective disciples of Christ. They're going to be required if we aren't just to get stuck in patterns of going through our faith in motions. If we are going to be disciples of Christ who are serving with love and with energy and with purpose and determination and all of these things, then we've got to take care of our souls. A rested, well-cared-for soul will take us past all of the everyday activity that we need to engage in, that we're told to engage in, that we're called to engage in, but it'll take us beyond all of that into a place where we're given access to the peace and the gratitude and the freedom and the blessing that can only come from a great heavenly outpouring of refreshment and restoration. That is why it's important that these two bits of the passage work together. Because what happens next after the physical healing is so, so important in this account that Mark gives us. Because we're told that by evening time of this healing, that word gets out that everybody is bringing the sick people to Jesus, and he heals them and he casts out demons from them. And it would have been really easy for Jesus to stay there in Capernaum to keep doing that ministry of healing. But you'll notice that that is not what he does. He doesn't stay there. He leaves them. And he gets up early the next day, and he goes to a deserted place to pray. And when his disciples finally find him, you can imagine them rushing around, not knowing where he's gone. All of this healing is taking place. Jesus, why have you left all of this? Why have you gone away to this quiet place? What is going on here? And they finally find him in this quiet place on his own. And they say to him, everyone is looking for you, because they all want their loved ones to be healed as well. And Jesus says to them, we've got to go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. That is why I came. What's he saying to them here? He's saying to them here, yes, I came in order to do physical works of healing, miraculous works of healing in the lives of people. But that healing that is going on is a sign to you of just how much God loves us. And that message, which is the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ came to bring, is a message that he had to bring to all people in order to heal all of our brokenness. The ultimate healing for all of us, the ultimate healing for all of our brokenness, would be the healing that would take place at the culmination of Jesus' ministry on this earth, the healing that would take place on the cross itself. That's what Jesus was trying to get them to understand at that time. That's why he didn't just stay in Capernaum, but he left there to go and proclaim the message of the gospel throughout Israel before going to the cross to heal us all in that generation and every generation to come. He is still healing today. And hallelujah that he is still healing today. It's an amazing thing to see. It's an amazing thing to experience. But the more amazing thing than all of that is that God has something even greater to offer to every single person on this earth, even than physical healing, amazing and miraculous as healing, physical healing is. And what he has come to this earth to offer every single one of us is what is termed in the Hebrew in the Bible, shalom. Shalom. Complete restoration. Physical restoration, yes, but spiritual restoration, psychological restoration, social restoration, complete restoration of all that we are, of our entire being. A deep sense of peace and security in our very souls that flows from us being brought back into relationship with our Heavenly Father, because Jesus Christ has paid the price for the sin that once separated us from him and that caused the brokenness in this world in the first place. Shalom. It's very hard to translate. It's very hard to translate. Shalom. It's like a deep nourishing of our souls that we only get when we turn away from every other thing and when we give ourselves completely to God. It can't happen in busyness. It doesn't work in busyness. It only happens in the deserted places. It only happens in the quiet places, the isolated places, as Jesus shows us here. It only happens when we go to the deep places of life. Those deep places in life where we have no distractions, where it's just God and us, and we are forced to confront the reality of who we are. And we're forced to come to terms and confess the reality of who we have become. Of the fact that the world has begun to shape us in ways that we just know deep down in our souls are not right. They are not bringing us peace. They are not bringing us security. They are not bringing us joy. They are not bringing us these things that our soul longs for. We've got to get to that place where we open ourselves up and confess that we have been shaped by the world around us through busyness, through other forces, and we've got to give ourselves completely to God. And when we do that, what will we find? We will find that we are replenished by the fullness of God that goes beyond any one single part of our body, and it fills the entirety of who we are. It's the love of God that floods into us and brings us complete restoration. It is a place that we need to be going to regularly in our lives, as Jesus did. It's a place that we need to be going to when we're tired, when we're running on empty, when we're feeling that anger and, you know, impatience and these things are coming too naturally and too quickly to us. We need to hit the reset button and go to these deep places of just getting back to basics with God. We've got to be going to these places when we're desperate and we realize that our spiritual tanks are running on empty. I keep talking about these places, but, you know, it's different for all of us. For some of you in this room today, it might be like a physical place. It might be walking along the coastal path. It might be the beach. It might be the woods. It might be a room in your house. It might be your garden. I don't know. It could be anywhere. You will know. You will know for you what that looks like. But it's a place where you escape busyness and hassles. That's the key thing here. And so maybe it's better not to think of it too much as like a physical place. Maybe it's better to think of it a little bit more as like an experience, as a time that you get to spend in deep, meaningful relationship with God. Not just offering up these prayers of what you need to get through the day. There's a time and a place for that. But it's a different time. It's a different place, this deepness. It's getting to that place in our lives regularly where we're opening ourselves up and just saying, Lord, I need you to completely fill my spiritual tank again because I am running on empty. It's a place where we consider what really matters and who we really are and what our life is really about and how what we've let it become. It's a place where we make space in our cluttered minds to listen to him, not to talk to him, to listen to him and to receive his goodness. There's a place where deep change happens in our lives. Deep healing will happen in our lives in those places. Shalom will happen in our lives in those places. When we give our entire selves to him and we invite him to put back the broken pieces of our lives, to put them back together again, to fill the emptiness, to refresh the dryness that we will all experience. To hand over the desolation that we've allowed to come into our minds because we've been watching too much news and we've just been filling it with a sense of hopelessness and despair. To hand over exhaustion. To hand over emptiness. And to say, Lord, fill them with dreams. Fill them with hope. Fill them with love once again. It's a very challenging place to go to. It is very, very challenging to go to those places. You will find, I find, when I get to these places in my life and I know I need to go and do business with God in those places, you will find the voice in your head starts to say to you, you're too busy for all of that. There's a lot of mess there to sort out. This is going to take a lot of time. And you'll start to get these voices in your head telling you that you have a million other things to do. You've got to fight beyond that. Because the voices are in your head precisely because you've got to this point in your life where everything is in the wrong order. So we've got to go to this place that life flows from. It's challenging, but we've got to go there. And look what happens when we go there. The example of Jesus tells us what happens when we go there because he emerges. He's had this really busy day. He's had all these people making all these demands on him. As all this activity is happening. He's bound to have been really tired. He gets up really early the next morning. Physically, he is bound to have been really tired, running on empty. And yet he goes to spend time with his heavenly Father in this deep place. And look what the result of it is. He emerges from it refreshed, ready to travel on through the region of Galilee so that he can bring his message of hope there too. Deep healing only happens in deep places where there are no distractions, where we look deep into our lives, deep into our souls, and we realize that we need fixed, not necessarily in parts of our body, though it may be in parts of our body, but we need a deeper work of fixing. We need fixing in our soul as well. Shalom is the type of healing that takes place. Shalom. Shalom is the healing that can deal with our past hurts that we have never let go of and that we lie awake in the middle of the night because they obsess us. Shalom is the type of healing that we need to let go of those disappointments that we have had in our lives. And for some reason, we have got into a psychological pattern of beating ourselves up about them day after day after day. Shalom is the sort of healing that we need, where we wake up in the morning and we're carrying this sense of dread or despair about something. That is not how we were intended to live. That is not how we were intended to live. Shalom is the sort of help and healing that we need in order to carry this burden that we are carrying, but we cannot carry it alone. We need to hand it over. We need to hand it over to Jesus Christ. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, he tells us. Hand them over and I will give you rest for your soul. No other human being can tell us that. No other human being can do that for you in your life. It is the only place to find that shalom. Or maybe it is habits of self-destruction that we just cannot break, that we are repeatedly doing in our lives, and we just, in our own strength, we cannot break them. Of course we can't break them. We don't have the strength to break all of these things in our own power. We need to do business with Jesus in those deep, deep places, because only he can break the deep habits that have sunk into our souls. And when we do it, every single time, we will receive an outpouring of his mercy and his love and his forgiveness and his generosity and his grace, and his new life will flow into us. There is a verse that I have kept coming back to over the recent days as I've been thinking about this and praying through all of this. And the verse is the verse that the Lord gave to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 57:15. The verse is this: let this be the Lord's word to us today. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble. You might be sitting here today and you might just feel your spirit is slightly crushed because you're carrying something, you're going through something, you've got into a pattern of life, you've got into a pattern of thinking that is crushing your spirit. Well, the Lord says, I have come to restore the crushed spirit of the humble. Who are the humble? The humble are those who recognize their need of him and who turn to him for new life and who open themselves completely to him to receive the new life that only he can give. So Jesus Christ, he does this healing work in this woman. He lifts her by the hand. He takes her by the hand and he lifts her up from her bed. But the point of all of this, the reason why it doesn't end there, is because the point of all of that is that that is exactly what Jesus Christ does for every single one of us. Takes us by the hand, lifts us, gets us back on our feet when we turn to him and we cry out for shalom in our lives once again. And when we emerge from that place, we will emerge from that place restored. A little bit like the psalmist in Psalm 23, who was able to declare those lovely words of praise. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. You know the most interesting thing in that, in the context of what we're talking about today? It's where the psalmist says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we need to hit rock bottom, don't we? In order to go to those places where life is offered to us in all of its fullness once again. And the Lord will make us, through things we've done, through circumstances in our lives, whatever it may be, he will make us lie down in green pastures, and he will refresh our soul. I don't know what your circumstances are in life. They're all very different. But I imagine that every single one of us in this room just longs for our souls to be revived on a regular basis in order to equip us to deal with the things that life brings our way. in order to equip us to live those lives that Jesus Christ went to that cross to die for us and to rise again for us, in order to defeat all of these forces that would try and rob life from our souls. But we need to be turning back to him regularly for all of this. In a moment, I'm going to just create a moment of silence, open up an opportunity for us in this room to do just that, just to open up our souls to the Lord. There might be something that resonates with you today that you think to yourself, I know exactly what it is that is making my soul feel weighed down, burdened. And you might just want to hand that thing over to the Lord today. Or maybe you don't know what it is, but maybe all you know is that your soul has got to a place where it is not thriving and full of the life that you know that it once had, and you know that Jesus Christ can give you again. I invite all of us today to open our lives, open our hearts, open our heads, open our minds. The mind is very important in all of this. To open all of these things to Christ and just to invite him to fill it with his shalom, his complete healing once again in our lives. So I'm going to invite the band to come up now. In a moment or two, we're going to sing a song, and that song is all about the brokenness. It's a beautiful song. It talks about the brokenness, the fragments of brokenness that can still be there in our lives. And there's a beautiful line in the song that talks about the love in the eyes of Jesus Christ on the cross, looking down on us and reaching us in those places and filling us with his love in those places. This is an opportunity to ask the Lord to fill us with his shalom, to ask for physical healing if you need physical healing, to ask for spiritual healing if you need spiritual healing, to ask for psychological healing if you need psychological healing, to ask that he would allow you to prioritize this rhythm of turning back to him in your life, and that the busyness would not take over in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Let's take a couple of minutes to recommit our souls to Jesus Christ and to ask him to fill our souls with his deep shalom. And in a couple of moments, the band will lead us as we sing this song.